Former Army Secretary Eric Fanning might be out of office, but he's still got plenty to say, such as he senses little political appetite for President Donald Trump's military buildup plans. Despite all the talk about increasing the military budget, Fanning just doesn't see where the votes will come from. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni spoke with Fanning about this and some other matters.
I think a lot of people expected that the budgets were going to go up pretty substantially. And there were a number of Republicans who immediately said, where do you think that money's coming from? There's not, you know, neither party's caucus is all that aligned or cohesive right now. And there are quite a few people in Congress whose priority is to reduce government spending. And so I don't know, you know, first of all, we still have sequestration looming, and we don't have any seeming way out of getting that, you know, getting that out of the way. And then I don't see the consensus necessary to increase defense spending in any sizable way. And so what I look for is not exacerbating the problems we have in the military by growing it without the proper resource, but filling the holes that are already inside the military. And another thing, by the way, from the Army's perspective, it's not just resource, it's time. You grow the Army too quickly and you start lowering standards about who you bring in, and that creates all sorts of perturbations almost immediately, but certainly down the road. It can take longer to get people out of training, you have disciplinary issues, you increase the number of people that are on the injured list because they're not ready to come into training. So I don't see how there's going to be the political will right now with everything that's going on and everything that's frankly not going on in Congress to find how you're going to build that consensus to increase the budget. And so I don't see huge changes in the NDAA, but the increases that I do see can go a long way in solving a lot of problems that the military is facing.
Now, I know that you're not part of the 2018 budget discussions, but you have seen some of the numbers, and you've been out for a while, so those numbers may not mesh with what you remember exactly. But, you know, how do they kind of line up with what you see the future of the Army should have been at that point?
Well, I see a few things that are encouraging to me, promising to me. You start with, and one of the benefits of my relatively short tenure in the position is I never had to testify on the budget before Congress, which is going on right now for the Army. But, you know, if you start with the premise, as I do and a lot of other people do, that we didn't adequately fund the military we have. So we're not spending as much per soldier as we should be, which means we're pushing some bills into the future. Huge bills on installations, maintenance we should be doing right now that we're not, which means repairs and replacements we'll have to do in the future, billions of dollars of leverage bills into the future. Those modernization accounts I talked about, the Army's still got his five big platforms, the Apache, the Black Hawk, the Abrams, the Bradley, and the Patriot system that was designed in the 80s for the Cold War. And not only do we still have that, the Army is now planning on holding onto those platforms beyond whatever they imagined. And you can only modernize a platform for so long before you've got to come up with an entirely new one. And so I start with the premise that we haven't budgeted the Army appropriately, the other services in my view as well. So if there's a desire to grow the Army, and you don't have the adequate resourcing to go with it, you could actually grow yourself into a less effective army. My fear is that the numbers I've seen for what they want to grow the army to don't have the requisite resourcing to go with it, and so we'll actually be spending less per soldier potentially in the future. But I was encouraged to see that the budget that went to the Hill tried to invest a lot of that extra money inside the Army the size that it was. There are holes inside the Army that need to be fixed. These installations, expenses, modernization, readiness, munitions, get down the pike before you actually try to grow the Army.
And I think they basically are stopping the drawdown, but not necessarily growing it, maybe growing it slightly. Those drawdown numbers were something that you had to deal with. And did you find those in line with the threat landscape that was you were seeing throughout the world and what you could testify to Congress and say, this is the number of men we need and women to do what you want us to do?
Well, first of all, everything has to start with a strategy. Right. I always hate getting the question, which I get all the time, which is why does the United States need to spend the same amount as the next 8-9 countries combined for national security? And I say it's the absolute wrong way to ask the question. The question is, what do you want your military to do? And then how should you resource it accordingly? We're the only military in the world that needs to be everywhere, needs to be decisive, dominant everywhere, and needs to be able to penetrate these major, you know, Russia is not a global power. They're a regional power, global power. China, a regional global power. And all they need to do is prevent us, to block us from getting in, to deny us. We need to penetrate. And if that's what you want your military to do, if that's the strategy, that is expensive. And so I don't think we've adequately resourced the military for that strategy. I'd like to see what the new administration's strategy is, and then you resource going forward in that regard. I do think the threat landscape is serious across all the things we talk about, China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, terrorism. And so I do think that I don't think that the threat landscape is being exaggerated by the military. Certain services will emphasize to a greater degree certain threats because it can justify a larger budget for that service. But our adversaries, our near-peer adversaries, have been spending a lot of money in carefully targeted areas to take advantage of decisive edges we have that we've relied on that have put them at a disadvantage. And that competitive edge we have is eroding.
Now, moving on to you know, what the Army is today and you know, what it was when you were there. Can you tell us a little bit about the biggest issues when you were Secretary of the Army that you felt were there and how they should be addressed and maybe some that have been overlooked?
Well, when I get asked that question about what are the biggest issues for the Army or what are the biggest threats for the Army, it's really two different ways to answer that question. One is for the Army as a service, as a warfighting machine. The other is for the Department of the Army. And that's usually how I answer the question because that was my job. As the easiest way to explain a service secretary is being the CEO of the business unit that creates the warfighting machine, the Army. The biggest issue that I had to deal with in that job, I felt, and in the previous jobs, the entire administration, was just the political and budgetary instability. It is not a truly effective way to budget and plan for an institution like the Army in annual budget cycles, but we couldn't even do that. There wasn't a single year in the 8 years of administration where we started the fiscal year with a budget in place. And so, you know, you should be doing 5-10-year budgets, in my mind, in terms of the planning horizon you need for an institution of that size. We were doing 3 months, then 9 months, and 3 months, then 9 months, and 3 months, and 9 months. And so that was rough on the force, rough on the planning. It's an inefficient way to spend money as well. You're actually wasting a lot of money spending it that way and going into a fiscal year without a budget. Beyond that, the biggest problems we faced, in my view, really were a constant focus on readiness. Everything we were doing internationally was pulling on the readiness and causing us to train in different ways, very specific ways, that weren't necessarily helping us against the full spectrum of threats or fights that we might face as an Army or the other services. And then second of all, constant strain to pay for the readiness on our modernization accounts. The Army, adjusted for inflation, is spending about half on modernization now what it was 8 years ago. Those are just bills you're pushing into the future.
Former Army Secretary Eric Fanning speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Mossioni. Be sure to check out the story at federalnewsradio.com.